بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد خاتم الأنبياء وإمام المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. الحمد لله. It is a pleasure and an honor to continue with you and to spend time reflecting a little bit on the Isra and Mi'raj. As our sister Mutahara was saying, that there will be a full program going in depth into the Isra and Mi'raj, the night journey and heavenly ascent, which took place in the sacred month of Rajab. And what we wanted to focus on today was a specific event which can sometimes be easily overlooked because the whole Isra and Mi'raj is so miraculous. There's so many wondrous things that took place on that journey that when we talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's return from the heavenly realm and from entering and seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being given the prayers and all of the amazing things that happened before that, when we talk about his return to the world, it seems a little bit anticlimactic sometimes, and we can easily overlook it. But there are many lessons specifically in the story of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam returns. So I'm reading from this really beautiful book by Sayyid Muhammad Alawi al-Maliki, and it's called The Prophet's Night Journey and Heavenly Ascent. I don't know if it's coming out clear on here, I apologize. By Sayyid Muhammad Alawi al-Maliki, radiyallahu anhu wa rahimahullah. And it's translated by Sheikh Jibril Fuad Haddad. And it's a really nice book where he essentially collects the ahadith about the Isra and Mi'raj and he puts them together in chronological order so we can have a full understanding of the journey. But he begins, or he ends rather, talking about the Prophet's return. And he says that when the Prophet returned, he passed by a caravan of the Quraysh in a particular area and saw a camel among the caravan, which had two containers, a black and white container that were mounted on its back. When he came face to face with the caravan, the caravan essentially turned around and the camel was thrown to the ground and what it was carrying on its back broke. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's witnessing this. And you're going to see why these details are important in just a moment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now he's returning from Jerusalem to Mecca. He passes by another caravan and he sees that its camels, which belonged to a particular Arab tribe, had been brought together. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he's passing by them, he greets them and their people from Mecca. So they say, wow, this is the voice of Muhammad. So they recognize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's voice. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then returned to Mecca al-Mukarramah. And the next day, the first person that he sees, and this is related to what we were talking about in Surah Al-Kahf, and this is related to having strength of iman, to having strength in our belief and certitude. And the first person the Prophet ﷺ sees after this miraculous journey is who? It's none other than the Pharaoh of this ummah, Abu Jahl, the enemy of Allah and his messenger. And Abu Jahl, he sees the Prophet ﷺ and he wants to abuse him and bother him. So Abu Jahl says to him, has anything happened? What's new? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, yes, something significant and momentous did just happen. And he says, well, tell me about it. What is that? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I was taken on a night journey last night. And Abu Jahl says, where to? And he's looking for any ammunition to use against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I was taken to the sacred house in Jerusalem, the sacred mosque in Jerusalem. And Abu Jahl says, last night you were in Jerusalem And here you are this morning in Mecca. Are you sure? Like, I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. Last night I was in Jerusalem. And this morning, actually the very same night he returned to Mecca. And this morning I am here among you all. And Abu Jahl, he said, okay, if I go call everyone in Mecca, I want to go call a few of my friends. And I want to gather a mob of people. And if I gather them together, will you tell them what you just told me? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is once again a sign that he is as-sadiq al-ameen, he is the truthful and trustworthy, that he is commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a true journey. He's not ashamed and shy to mention it in front of anyone. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, call whoever you want. The fact of the matter is that's what happened. So Abu Jahl goes and he calls all of these people. And he creates this mob. So he says, O tribe of the children of Ka'b ibn Lu'ay, in other words, the people of Quraysh, come together. People left their gatherings and they came and they all sat around the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Jahl. And Abu Jahl says, tell your people what you just told me. And the Prophet ﷺ says, my Lord took me on a night journey last night to Jerusalem, to the sacred mosque in Jerusalem, and I came back, and here I am among you. And then the people started to react in a way that exactly the way that Abu Jahl intended. They started whistling, and they started clapping, ha 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 ha, and laughing, and some people started even disrespectfully treating the Prophet and putting their hands on his head. Oh, that's, you were there last night and here you are right here. Is this real? And calling him insane and mocking him and so forth. And the reason why this story is important is because the way that disbelievers act doesn't change. Those same sentiments, those same responses and reactions still exist today. Oh, you believe in an afterlife? You believe that people experience something in the grave? That person is dead as a doorknob or whatever it may be. And they'll say, you know, that you believe in that really? And they'll try to mock. But the reaction and the response of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu is the reaction and the response that we all have to have. And that the Prophet ﷺ, he teaches us things of the unseen. And people of material knowledge, they don't understand or appreciate the unseen. Even in the case of the earthquake, that there are earthquakes that Muslims die from and non-Muslims die from. The end result, the outcome of a Muslim who dies in an earthquake is not like the outcome of a disbeliever who dies in an earthquake. Because we know that there is an ultimate unseen, that there is a reality of the Day of Judgment, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a wisdom in those things that happen, even if they absolutely hurt us and devastate us outwardly in the life of this world, we still look at it with the lens of iman. And we know that there is a wisdom in that. So then one of the disbelievers, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of your affair before today was bearable. We could put up with everything you said before what you said right now. I bear witness that you are lying. This man, he said, I bear witness. I'm going to stand here and I'm going to bear witness that you're lying. And everyone knew that the Prophet ﷺ was not a liar. Says it takes us 1 month. If we go at speed, it takes us 1 month to get to Jerusalem and 1 month to get back. And you tell me that you went there and you came back in the same night, and they started swearing by Allah and Al-Uzza, I don't believe you. Then someone ran to Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and they wanted to use this as an opportunity to shake the belief of the Sahaba. Because this, according to their technology at the time and what they were used to, this was something really far-fetched. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control. He's in control of time and space. And there are more amazing things and even greater miracles that occurred at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there were some people whose iman was weak, they apostated, and there were very few. But they came to Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He said, do you hear what your companion, what your friend is saying? And he said, what is that? They said, Muhammad is saying that he went to Jerusalem last night and he came back in the same night, and here he is in Mecca this morning. And look at how intelligent Sayyidina Abu Bakr's response was. He said, if that is what he said, then he has spoken the truth. In other words, you might be lying, but if he did say that, then I know that he spoke the truth, because he is not a liar. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, I believe in something even more miraculous than that. I'll leave him for the afternoon and come back. And in that short amount of time, he would have received revelation from the Creator sent down from above the seven heavens to the earth. That's even more miraculous than him going to Jerusalem and back. You know how many millions of light years are traveled in that short amount of time? And you think him going to Jerusalem and back is a big deal? So Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he joins the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says to him, Ashhadu annaka sadiqun. I bear witness that you are speaking the truth. Just as the disbeliever said, I bear witness that you're lying. Every time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something, he said, I bear witness that you're telling the truth. Ashhadu inna annaka sadiqun. Right? That I bear witness that he is speaking the truth. I bear witness, O Messenger of Allah, that you're speaking the truth. And this is how we have to be as believers. We have been informed of so many things from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that there will be disbelievers and people who are atheists and people who have been affected by modernity and various ideologies and philosophies who will mock us. But we, in every time, we have to be people who have such deep iman that is strengthened and supported by seeking sacred knowledge. It's not just blind faith. It is faith that is corroborated by rationality and intelligence, and using our uqul, our intellects, that everything that has come from Allah and His Messenger is consistent with what we are able to understand and perceive with our intellects. So to seek that knowledge that deepens our iman, and that we need to be people like Sayyidina Abu Bakr. Ashhadu annaka sadiqun. I bear witness that you're speaking the truth. Then the disbelievers, once again, they started to test the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They wanted to push it further and further. They said, describe the sanctuary in Jerusalem to us. And it's amazing, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he was taken on that journey, he wasn't taken as a tourist. He's not going around taking pictures of the mosque like you or I might do. His heart is singularly set with love and yearning to meet his Lord. That's what the Prophet ﷺ was focused on. As Allah says, مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا طَغَى, that his sight never swayed, nor did he exceed the limits, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He was singularly focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he wasn't there to look at how many arches there were. They asked, how many doors does it have? Describe the masjid to us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they tried to test him with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave him immediately a live stream of the masjid al-Aqsa, and he was able to see all of the details that they were asking about. And then he would describe it, and every time he would describe something, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, who had actually been there and he saw it with his own eyes, he said, you are speaking the truth. I bear witness that you are truthful. I bear witness that you speak the truth. Every time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would describe it. Then they went even further. They said, okay, tell us about our caravans. That the Meccans sent out a caravan to Jerusalem, and they knew that it was about the time that they would be on their way back. Now, what does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam going to Jerusalem and back have anything to do with the caravans? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him knowledge of that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I saw the caravans and they were carrying a black and white container, and that there was a stampede, and that they had to move out of the way, and the container broke. And then I reached the caravan of another tribe, and he described the camels and he described everything about them. So then the disbelievers, and this is another sign, the disbelievers will continuously try to push the limits and the boundaries. They will always deny. Even when they're given proof, they're going to find a way to try to misinterpret it or miscategorize that proof. So say, okay, when are they going to arrive? Now, the Prophet ﷺ, seeing them on his way back, isn't necessarily have anything to do with when they're going to arrive. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, they're going to arrive on Wednesday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that knowledge. And then the Quraysh went out on that Wednesday, and they were waiting and waiting and waiting because they just wanted the smallest excuse to mock the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam further. Then finally, before sunset on Wednesday, in the late evening, before the day ended, the caravans arrived. And they said, oh yes, just a few days ago, before we arrived, we heard the voice of Muhammad as we were traveling back from Jerusalem. And all of the things, all of the proof that the Prophet ﷺ gave them was further corroborated by the people in the caravan. When they asked him to describe Masjid al-Aqsa, he was able to give them all of the description accurately because all of that knowledge was given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the disbelievers continued to find excuses. They said, oh, that's all magic and sorcery. Oh, he got that knowledge through magic. Oh, he was able to answer our question through witchcraft and sorcery and all of these foolish excuses that they came up with. But what was the response of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? O Messenger of Allah, you are speaking the truth, and I believe in even greater miracles than the one that you have just told us about, traveling quickly back to Jerusalem, there and back again. But this should be our response, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should trust in his guidance and in his sunnah and in his beautiful way, even when our own knowledge might be limited. We might not appreciate it in the moment. We might find it difficult in the moment, but we need to have that submission and that true iman that Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq had, radiyallahu anhu. And this is why, and this is when he was given that special epithet, that special title of as-Siddiq, the one who is completely and absolutely true with Allah and his messenger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with him. May Allah increase us in iman and strengthen our hearts and allow us to be people who see all that happen in the world and all that happen around us through the lens of iman and through the lens of basira, and that we are people who believe in the unseen and affirm the unseen, and that we are not shaken by disbelievers, their criticisms and their mockery and all of the tools that they try to use to make people of faith look backwards and look humiliated, that we are people who find honor in Allah and his messenger and honor in being believers and those who submit ourselves and serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our ibadah and through our character and through all of our actions. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
MashaAllah, thank you so much, Ustad Amjad, for that great Friday lesson. It's now time for the Q&A, so I highly encourage everyone watching to ask their questions in the chat, or you can email us questions@celebratemercy.com. And I did want to share this comment by Sister Rashida about your reflection earlier, your ayah reflection, saying, I can relate with your analysis of the ayah. Allah Azza wa Jal does strengthen one's heart when we sincerely worship him. May he continue to increase us in Yaqeen. Ameen. I really enjoyed how, you know, both your ayah reflection and the Friday lesson, they were both about faith, about servitude, about worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also they both had some miraculous aspect to it, you know, both in terms of the Isra and Mi'raj and the people of the cave. So that was a very interesting, parallel between the two stories. And I would ask Sister Lily to ask a question that she had asked last week about the people of the cave. I'll see if she can ask her question and we'll share it. But I did have a question. My question was, what is the, you know, with the event of the Isra and Mi'raj coming up and you covering this portion of it, what is the significance of the Isra and Mi'raj in the Prophet's life and for us? You know, we have the miracle of the Quran, we have other experiences in the Prophet's life, but what is so significant about this experience, both for the Prophet and for us as Muslims?
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that question. And I think that inshallah, this will be explored in even greater depth when you have that webinar, inshallah, with those beautiful scholars and teachers, inshallah ta'ala. The significance, ulama, they say, scholars say that the Isra and Mi'raj is the greatest night of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam's life. It is the greatest night in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life because that was the night that he was given an unprecedented honor. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gazing upon his noble countenance, which is something that Prophet Musa alayhi salam asked for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Lan tarani," you will not be able to see me, but that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was given that unique, distinct honor that no angel or prophet was ever given before. So what that also, the significance that has for us as Muslims is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us and honored us from being members of his ummah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is something really immense. It is significant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prophet and messenger who was taken further than even Jibreel alayhi salam could go and was given that vision, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the salah at that moment directly during the Isra and Mi'raj, it is something that we should reflect deeply on because it should inculcate within our hearts a deep-seated gratitude. We should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the bottom of our hearts that he's made us from the ummah of the Prophet. So it is the greatest night in the Prophet's life, and it is the night that he was given the salah, and we were honored because Allah chose us to be members of his ummah. So the Imam al-Busiri, one of the great scholars of Islam, in his celebrated poem, Al-Burda al-Sharifa, the Burda, he says, "Bi akramir rusli kunna akramil umami." But through the most honored of messengers, we became the most honored of communities, of faith communities. So that's the lesson for us, is that we should commemorate this night. We should ponder deeply. And there are so many other things that took place on that night. But just to remember that this is the night that the greatest gift ever given to creation, which is the gazing upon the noble countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was given to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what does that say about the potential, what Allah has prepared for you and I? That he's made us from this ummah, which means that we have immense, immense, immense potential in attaining degrees of nearness to Allah and knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's one of the lessons and takeaways. Inshallah, more to come in the webinar. I see.
Inshallah, thank you so much. This is the question that Sister Lily asked us week as well when we had some time between the program about the story of the cave. If the cave was suspended in time, or if it was moving through time from a time space continuum point of view. I thought it was a very interesting question.
Yeah, that is a very interesting question. My understanding, and please feel free to do a bit more research and digging. My understanding is that they move through time naturally. because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it was 300 years and we added 9. And the scholars of tafsir, they say it's very interesting because it could have been 300 solar years and then we added 9 lunar years, because 300 solar years equals 309 lunar years. So that they were moving through time, and that the miracle itself is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved them and took such good care of them that even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have their bodies move and that the sun would move for them so that they got whatever shelter they needed from the sun. And their bodies didn't even suffer from bed sores and things of that nature, that Allah was taking such good care of them. So my understanding at a surface level, and once again, please feel free to do a bit more research, is that they were moving through time. But they didn't feel it because they hadn't changed.
Thank you. That's a very, very interesting topic for sure. We have another question here that says, the Isra and Mi'raj is such an important event that we repeat the conversation that occurred on this day in our prayer. Is this correct? I guess touching on, you know, the revelation of prayer within Isra and Mi'raj, if we repeat the conversation that was had there or what?
Beautiful. I think, you know, mashallah, may Allah increase us all in knowledge. But yeah, I think that Sister Mutahara answered the question herself, that yes, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, one of the beautiful things in the tashahud and what we call the tahiyyat, the greetings of peace that we present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was actually the conversation, the address, the divine address that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received, and his response to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, As-salamu alayka, ayyuhan nabiyyu, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you, O Prophet, and Allah's mercy and blessings. Oh. If anyone in creation was addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that way, they would have been so annihilated in love that they could never come back to creation. They could never deal with another created being. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of his love and his mercy for his ummah, he came back. And he continued for over 10 years to teach and to call to Allah and to deal with people and so forth. Until finally at that last moment, he said, "Bal al-Rafiq al-A'la." Rather, I want to be with the highest companion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after being addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that most honorable way, he said, "Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillah as-salihin." Peace be upon us and upon all of Allah's righteous servants. That they said, out of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mercy and love, is that he wanted to share in that nearness to Allah and the distinction that he received in Allah's peace and blessings and mercy, he wanted to include other righteous servants as well. And he wanted to distribute those blessings and those mercies among the rest of Allah's servants. So he said, "Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillah salihin." I want to include other righteous servants so that they can love you and be honored by you in the way that you have honored me. And that is why he is the most honored one, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And before that, rather, I apologize. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "At-tahiyyatu lillah, al-mubarakatu, al-salawatu, al-tayyibatu lillah," that the purest and most blessed and complete and perfect greetings belong and are only deserving to be granted and presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." So what we say in the tahiyyat is the address, the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greeted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way that he was addressed by him in return. So we remember that. And in our salawat, And we're connected to that moment in every prayer.
SubhanAllah, what a beautiful description of that event, of the words that we use in our prayer that was revealed during that event. It's very impactful. And I hope, you know, as we all continue to pray today, until the day of Isra and Miraj, we continuously remember as we are saying those parts, you know, about the significance of how they were revealed. I want to share this comment by Sister Lily as well, who said, Jazakallah khair, Ustad Amjad, so much for everything that you do and for your time and teaching us. May Allah place much barakah in your work and your time for you and the Celebrate Mercy team. Ameen. So thank you so much. I had another question. You know, like we said, the lesson generally was, you know, about servitude, having faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you had mentioned in your reflection, you know, you just had made a comment about the things that we create becoming our gods, you know, kind of us being controlled by, you know, things that we should in fact be controlling. So I guess this is every believer's question kind of every day, you know, how do I be a perfect servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do I only be God's servant and not the servant of all these false gods around me that, you know, I should be more in control of? So just some more reflections or guidance on how we can, you know, limit the false gods and kind of turn completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And there are a lot of false gods, even though we might not worship them or really set them up as partners besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are so many ideologies and perspectives in the world today that are worshipped and set up as false gods besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether that's people's political parties or whether that's people's ideologies of modernity and post-modernity, that people hold on to these things as if they're unquestionable truths, as if they're revelation from God himself, whereas at the end of the day, they're just the philosophies and ideas of very flawed human beings. And if you look historically, that has happened in the past, that people say, this is the way to be. And then you just wait a few years, a generation or two, and people will laugh at the previous ideology that people held so firmly to. So these are often set up as things that oppose religion, or they're adversarial to our belief as Muslims. So we have to be aware of those things, whether it's even lowly desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that مَنَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى. Do you see the one who's taking their passions as their God? That we worship, we're a very hedonistic, we're in a very hedonistic time, that people worship their fame and luxury and clothing and their desires and things of that nature. So one of the ways that we actualize our servitude is really engaging in worship with knowledge. This is a very important point. Someone might have grown up and had people at the masjid or people at Islamic school, their parents forced them, just worship, just pray, don't ask any questions, just memorize Quran. What does it mean? Don't ask any questions. And they have a very superficial understanding of Islam. And they said, I've done all of those things. And then they're exposed to all of these ideologies and they don't have the required knowledge to understand how to respond. That can be very unsettling. So to engage in those acts of worship, but to also have the requisite knowledge to understand the profundity, the depth, the beauty, the wisdom of those acts of worship. And when you understand the Quran, you understand the Sunnah of the Prophet, and you learn about his life, you engage in those acts of worship. And the prayer, the Salah, to speak to Lily's point, the prayer, the Salah, is the most powerful means by which we strengthen our attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word salah, prayer, is connected to the word sila, and sila means connection. It's that rope, it's that lifeline that we have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that strengthens our hearts and it allows us to perceive reality as it truly is. And once we're able to perceive reality as it truly is, all of those various ideologies and philosophies and ways of expressing falsehood cannot shake us. So we strengthen it through knowledge and through worship that is backed by a deep understanding of our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then that cycle continuously is increasing. That worship increases us in iman. Iman increases us in understanding. Understanding increases us in our love of worship and so forth.
MashaAllah, thank you so much for that answer. And that kind of continuation is what you are pointing to in the ayah reflections as well. You know, first you're given faith, iman, and then you're increased in guidance, and then your heart is strengthened. So hopefully, stand for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in servitude, inshallah. I know you have to go soon, so I'll share a final question, and you can take as long as you have to answer it. So someone asked that we're all shaken from the tragedy that occurred in Turkey and Syria this week. It's a reality check. So how can we tie this into today's lesson by actualing our servitude to Allah besides donating?
Yeah, mashallah, that's a great question. And I just want to echo those sentiments that we all are shaken, and it is something that is a really powerful reminder, something that brings us a lot of sadness to see people suffering in that way. One of the ways that it helps us deepen our servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is it shows us the nature of the world. And it teaches us, it is a very sort of vivid reminder that kind of shakes us to understand and know that death is real and it could come at any moment. It could come in the form of a tragedy like an earthquake, a natural disaster. It could come in the form of an accident. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be gentle with us and protect us. It could come in the form of a sickness. It could just be a surprise. There might be someone who just dies in their sleep. And even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that these things would become more common at the end of time. So the Messenger of Allah has spoken the truth. So it helps us remember that we have to be ready at every moment to return to Allah. Those people who died, those who are in a good state with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they only find good. They only find good, even if we cannot see it. We are saddened by the events, but they are in a state of honor with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that they are martyrs, inshallah ta'ala. And those who are even martyred in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as many of the great sahaba radiallahu anhum, many of the great sahaba, some of them their lives were taken in the worst of ways, and we say the worst of ways in terms of the injustice, such as Sayyid bin Hussein radiallahu anhu wa ardah, the worst of ways. But he only was met with honor in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people harmed him, but he was only raised in rank before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we recognize the worldly aspect of it, but we do not allow that to supersede the viewpoint of iman. We do not allow that to blind us from what is really taking place. That those people who were wrongfully killed, or those who died in the way of Allah, or those who died in the tragedy, they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, in an even greater state and being honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a serious, gut check, to use that term, because it really shakes us and upsets us. But then it allows us to say, okay, this is real. This dunya is temporary. Allah is giving us a lesson, and we have to prepare for that meeting with Him. And for those of us who are prepared, who believe in Allah and do righteous deeds, that they will be met with a great reward. And I will end with the verses of Surah Al-Asr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal-Asr, by time and the waning time, innal insana lafi khusr, that the human being is truly in a state of loss. Our time is dwindling for each and every one of us. Every day that passes by is one day closer to the appointed time. Illa alladhina amanu, except those who believe and do righteous deeds. Wa amilu salihati, falahum ajrun wal asri innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati falahum ajrun ghayru mamnun. That those who believe in Allah and do righteous deeds, they will have a reward and they will not be in a state of loss. So this is a reminder for us. And we have to have that preparation and that turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you so much, Ustad Amjad, for those helpful reminders. Got a comment saying,
wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr. I apologize. Forgive me, Mutahara. I got mixed up between Surah At-Tin and Surah Al-Asr. And those who remind each other and counsel each other to truth and counsel each other to patience. And I think that Surah Al-Asr is a great reminder, especially when thinking about the calamity and the disaster that took place in Turkey and Syria. Wallahu a'lam.
No, thank you so much. We benefited greatly today from your reflections on Surah Al-Kahf, your Friday lesson, the amazing answers that you gave, and the poignant and much needed reminder at the very end with the tragedy that we all witnessed. So thank you so much, Ustad Amjad. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Jazakumullah kul khair. It's my honor and pleasure. May Allah bless you all and increase you all in every goodness. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.